We are joined on the phone by Karen Greenberg, the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law and author of several books, her latest, Reimagining the National Security State, Liberalism on the Brink. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, sort of.
Your initial thoughts to what we're hearing and seeing today on the House floor?
You know. Actually, there's not that much that's unexpected. We are hearing the same thing over and over again. I think the most frustrating part of what we're hearing is, we've heard it in the past as well, is the Republicans saying, you know, there wasn't enough time, evidence wasn't presented that could have been presented, when in fact the reason the evidence, witnesses, and documents weren't presented was that the White House and Donald Trump blocked them from being presented. And so it's such an odd kernel to have at the center of this, where you're getting accused of something that actually the accusers are guilty of. And so I think that is the thread that runs through it, that is really makes you wonder just how dissatisfying this entire conversation is. And it keeps coming up over and over again as one of the main takeaways.
Karen Greenberg, I want to talk to you about something, and this is Mitch Jezerich, who's also here in the studios at KPFA. And good morning to you, or good afternoon now. I want to talk to you about something that's actually not being talked about today, but is somewhat tangential to the whole impeachment issue concerning Donald Trump, and that is sort of these dueling investigations. And it's pretty a remarkable moment in history right now if you think about what's happening. You have the House going after the president, but you also have the president and the attorney general in a special investigation by John Durham also looking into the FBI. And you have the Senate Judiciary Committee looking into other different things. And it's almost feeling like we're having a weaponization of government, of using government processes against other parts of the government that's occurring right now. Have you ever witnessed something like this before, or remember anything like this before?
I don't, and it's funny that you have this question, because I was kind of looking back over other, you know, historical impeachment debates see if there is anything that resonates. It's like, I'm so glad you raised this, it's sort of like armies, you know, amassing extra forces, right? So you have the one proceeding that's going on in front of us, you have these other proceedings going on as well, almost in preparation for if one report comes out one way, we're going to have another report coming out another way, as if there's no end to this. And I think that's the real problem. Is there a legitimate decision to be made? Is it one inspector general, which we heard Michael Horowitz? What if the Durham report contradicts him? Right? We don't know what's going to be in the Durham report. And although there's been, you know, Durham made us go down one road, we've been brought back the other way by other Republicans who have said, wait till you see the Durham report, as if it's going to contradict Michael Horowitz's report. So in a way, it's a way of undermining the fact that there is such a thing as a conclusive decision after a series of facts. And I find it very unsettling, because without that, what kind of legitimacy will any process have?
It's interesting, because oftentimes we compare this moment in time in history to perhaps the 1850s, obviously another very divisive moment, the decade before the Civil War. And while I don't anticipate an actual physical civil war in the United States in the next few years, it does seem like we are almost seeing a civil war within the government itself.
Yeah, we're at war within the government. We're at war with understanding how our government functions and which determinations to prioritize. We're at war with what the procedures are. So you're right. It's not just a war of ideology, a war of perspective, a war over the facts, but it's actually a war over what are the mechanisms of government that we trust. And I think that, and therefore, the precedent of, you know, the pre-Civil War very much comes to mind. I think of this more, if I were going to take it back to a historical period, in a very bizarre way, we're having, you know, you keep seeing the word constitutional crisis, which is could define the whole thing. So I never like the when are we going to be in a constitutional crisis. Really, what's happening right now is we're having a discussion about how do we think about the Constitution that should govern us? And I think, you know, in a way, we're having our own rethinking of the Constitutional Convention when it comes to not just impeachment, when it comes to presidential powers. And I find that one of the more fascinating, and I think eventually could be constructive parts of what we're witnessing.
Let's talk a little more about the Michael Horowitz report. Michael Horowitz is the inspector general who is investigating the wiretapping, the FISA wiretapping, which comes from a 1970s law, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act law, to put a wiretap on Carter Page, who is working with the Trump campaign in 2016. And in his report, and this is part of the basis for those who say this entire investigation into Trump over the 2016 is illegitimate because it was what detractors would call an illegal wiretapping that had occurred. Michael Horowitz did not go that far, but he said there were many errors and oversight and just overall sloppiness in reporting information about Carter Page, and he was very critical of how the process went. However, he also said he didn't believe that it was because of political bias, and he also thought the investigation into the 2016 election was warranted. John Durham is the who was picked by Attorney General William Barr to conduct an independent investigation outside of what Horowitz is doing. And remarkably, now, John Durham's considered to be a pretty credible individual, yet he took the unprecedented move when Michael Horowitz came out with this report to criticize and say he disagreed with Michael Horowitz's conclusion. What are your thoughts about that?
I have many. First is that, and I want to just add a third fact to what you said and then go back all of them, which is that a lot of this criticism has been on the part of, you know, how dare you use the FISA this way, and as if Trump, as the larger figure being looked at, you know, that these other investigations are eventually aimed at, was being mistreated by the FISA process. So I want to say a few things about FISA. The FISA process, which is established to be able to get surveillance on people who are suspected of being an agent of a foreign power, was broadened after 9/11. And it was considerably broadened. And in some ways, there were a number of programs that were done secretly and eventually, a few of those programs became a law in a new FISA Act of 2008, and one that was, again, voted for, renewed under President Obama. The fact is that FISA always has been something that's made many individuals who are observing law enforcement a little, to say the least, unhappy about how it's used. There has in the past, well before this century, been worries about just what, not the motivation so much, but to some extent, sloppiness, to another extent, kind of overreaching, using the FISA process in a way that is broader than is meant to be. So this is not a new conversation. It has been there almost since FISA started. It got intensified after 9/11 because of this broadened and vaguer use of FISA to be able to surveil people who, in a strict reading of the law, would not have been surveilled. And so what's odd now is that you have this reading of FISA as something that has to be much more carefully monitored and studied and at times rejected, being echoed by this administration. And so it's kind of confusing the dialogue. That's on FISA. On the Durham investigation, it is a fact that Durham is a well-respected prosecutor. It is also a fact that Durham was the prosecutor that was picked by the last Attorney General under Bush and the Attorney General under Obama, Eric Holder, to conduct investigations into torture, into the destruction of the tapes by the CIA of torture at black sites around the world, of terrorism detainees, and also of the underlying activity, namely the use of these enhanced interrogation techniques among detainees. Both those reports were essentially tabled. Durham turned them in, saying that there was no need to go any further in the investigations, and Holder accepted that. So when Durham is used to being and working in a highly politicized atmosphere, but what what we actually know about him and how he thinks about the processes of government, we really don't know, because those reports were, his basic conclusion was, let's not go forward with that. So both of these things, both the FISA argument and who Durham is, have, these are not new players in the game. These are not new arguments. And they're being coming to the fore right now in a way that has to do with who is the president, what is he able to do. And I find it kind of fascinating that these two eras of time, the post 9/11 era and the crisis of the Trump presidency, are overlapping in terms of issues that are being adjudicated.
It is fascinating. Karen Greenberg has been our guest. She is the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law and author of the book Reimagining National Security State. Karen Greenberg, we thank you.
Thank you so much.